episode is brought to you by D7. Find out why every tech should have a copy of D7 by visiting foolishit.com. And don't forget to catch the Podnuts episode, Podnuts episode 74 with the creator, Nick Shaw.
Hello, everybody. This is Door to Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. Wanted to just slip in a quick note here. I want to apologize for the quality of this podcast. We had a little issue with our local recording, so I had to do the fallback measure, which is download the YouTube audio, try to clean it up as best of my ability, and publish it as a show. Once again, I apologize for the quality of this show, and I thank everybody for their support. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode 367. My name is Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. I know it's been a little bit of time here between Podnuts Dailies, vacation, job, life, wife, just throw anything else in the mix that sounds like that. This is the podcast where we talk to people in tech about tech, the goings-ons, the happenings, things they've seen, things they've witnessed, things they like and things they don't like. Now today I have, in my opinion, a up-and-coming podcast idol for some people, because if you're going to listen to anything that has good quality, I will highly encourage you to check this out. And it is Matt from Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy, which is YFNCG.com. How's everything going, Matt?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Ah, no problem. The split second, and I want to say it was PC Freddy was the guy who comes out to every pretty much live show, downloads every podcast I think that's ever been produced on the internet, and lets everyone know what he thinks about them.
Right.
I'm pretty sure he was the guy that told me, he said, Dor, I think you got to listen to this guy. And I went down. First, I looked at the site. I was very pleased by the site. Not ghetto, not cheap, not janky. Wasn't huge text. It was nice and filled, not a lot of white space. So I saw your level of exactness, I'll say, on that website, which I got to say was the first thing I wanted to compliment you on. But it turns out I complimented you on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, and I notice this a lot with computer technicians for some reason. You know, they're very technically minded, but aesthetically, a lot of times you go to like computer business websites and a lot of the web stuff that folks have out there, and it's, you know, where you go to download computer tools and all that stuff, and it's very, very, you know, ugly. It looks like a programmer put it together or a technician put it together, which is understandable. But I've always been a little bit of an artist. I mean, I've been a musician since I was a kid, so I kind of have. I like stuff to look decent, and so I strive for that in the website. And then, of course, being a musician, I've recorded a couple CDs in my day, so I understand how to get good audio quality and stuff, and that's another pet peeve of mine when I listen to podcasts that sound like, you know, someone's using their laptop built-in webcam microphone and sounds like they're standing at the other end of the room. And so, yeah. You know, I appreciate good quality audio, so I like to give that to my listeners as well.
Very cool. Yeah, and I'll say you're now the third or fourth musician I know of that makes dang pretty websites.
Yeah, there's a correlation there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have thought of it, but it just shows another thing that I wasn't aware of that I think is true.
Yeah.
Well, I do know a little bit about you from listening to the podcast, but I'm going to assume none of the listeners really know about it. So I'm going to ask for a little bit of history on you. Can I ask, what part of the country are you in, and what is your history in general and in computers?
Okay. Yeah, so part of the country I'm in, well, currently I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm originally born in California, but I did some military service, and then I ended up out here on the East Coast, and I just kind of stuck around. There's a lot going on in the D.C. area between here and New York, and there's just plenty to do and plenty of jobs to be had, and so I just kind of stuck around. So my history in general, I guess, starts when I was in the Army. I spent 4 years in the military as a military musician, actually, as a trumpet player. That was my job in the Army. Being in the Army, you kind of have some side jobs because every unit is like its self-sustaining entity. So being in the Army as a trumpet player, we also had other side jobs to kind of just keep the wheels greased in the unit. And I'd always been interested in computers since I was a kid, just tinkering around and stuff, nothing serious. But the position as the assistant to the information management officer came available, and I jumped on it just because I wanted some more experience. I was thinking about maybe getting into the field after I got out of the Army. So that's kind of where I started learning the ins and outs of system administration and, you know, administering a work group and a network of computers and Outlook and Windows and all that stuff. So then I get out of the Army and I'm, you know, looking for a job because being a trumpet player doesn't really pay the bills. Yeah. So I was looking for more of a full-time job, and got some, you know, some pretty worthless part-time jobs until I finally landed a job as a what's the word? Not apprentice, but what can I think of?
Internship.
Internship. Yeah. Internship. Duh. As an intern for a help desk of a pharmaceutical company here in the area. So I got that job, and you know, just kind of trial by fire in the help desk. You know how that goes. I mean, you just putting out fires and getting every issue under the sun. It was, you know, a fairly big company, about 1,000 employees. So, you know, middle company. And there were just three of us on the help desk. So we got plenty of work to do.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of rose the ranks in that company from intern to regular help desk to help desk level 2. And I eventually ended up as a systems infrastructure analyst for the data center.
Cool.
So stuff like keeping servers patched, monitoring, doing some stuff with Citrix and virtual machines, storage, just a little bit of everything. So it was at that time that I realized that the path I was on wasn't quite the path that I wanted to continue on. I realized that I really loved the help desk stuff. I really loved interfacing with people one-on-one. I loved solving computer problems and seeing the results of my efforts, like right then and there, and then just seeing, you know, how happy the person was to finally be able to get back to work. And I loved that immediate kind of problem solving. Yeah. And that's what I was missing in the infrastructure side. It, you know, there's a lot of paperwork involved. There's a lot of politics involved because you couldn't sneeze in the data center without approving it with all the other groups, the database folks and the application folks. And so it wasn't my scene. I'm not the kind of guy who likes to play politics. I just like to do my work and have fun with it. So that's when I started getting the idea of starting my own computer business. And that's also the time that I started the Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy blog. I, you know, had a handful of blogs that I was reading, and I was interested in just trying to start blogging myself. And I figured the journey that I took from working a full-time IT job to starting my own computer business would be something good to blog about. So I figured it'd you know, help other people out who might be in the same situation, but it would also kind of help me, you know, solidify my thoughts about how I was going to start the business. It also helped me be accountable for the things I was saying I was going to do, because you put it out there on a blog for the world to see, you're going to kind of have to back it up with
with
action. So that's what I did. So I did the blog for about 3 years while I was still working my full-time job. And I started to slowly build up my computer business part-time while I was working there. And then it's been about 2 years now, a little over 2 years that I quit my full-time IT job and have been running my computer business full-time since then. And so
that's Dude, that is really cool, man. And yeah, I will say I did work in directly help desk job for I guess, 2 or 3 years, and I worked as a quote-unquote domain admin for like 2, 3 years. Completely apples and orange. One, you get to see closure, you know, when you're on help desk, and there are users who are actually grateful that you're there to fix their issue. And on the server side, it is like, that's where you go if you really don't like people,
right?
And you really only deal with computers. And to me, the biggest difference, I said when I went into the domain admin, is, see, with help desk, I didn't know what the day was going to bring. It was like new. It was a challenge. Every day there was something that could possibly be completely different that I would come across. In the domain admin side, you pretty much knew what was going to happen every day. And when something did pop up, it was utter emergency, like the sky is falling kind of atmosphere. Yep.
Come in on weekends or 2 a.m.
I wasn't a fan of that.
Nope.
You know, family, no, I'm not coming in on the weekends. If the building's on fire, call the fire department.
Right.
So you've been doing this for about 2 years. I guess what I want to really first know is it what you expected it to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I had the benefit of really having time to think about it and research it, and having started the blog, you know, that introduced me to other sites like TechNibble and other forums where I could, you know, hear from folks who have been doing this for a while. And so I kind of, you know, heard the stories and kind of knew what to expect from that sense. But there really, the amount you read or hear about it can never prepare you for actually, you know, being in the trenches and doing it. And so even, you know, the amount of stuff I read and the warnings I heard, it still just surprised me how hard it was to get the word out at first. I felt like I was in a pretty comfortable position when I quit my job. I had a nice handful of customers that were regulars that would be contacting me. I felt like I was getting overwhelmed with work part-time. So I figured, you know, it's time to jump ship and see what I can do with this. And so the first maybe month or two after I quit my job, things were going good. I was getting, you know, I was telling all my friends, hey, spread the word. I got this computer business I'm starting. I got a couple customers who were old employees of the company I was working at who, you know, had some computer issues and wanted to give me a call. And so it was going pretty good those first couple months. And then all of a sudden, there was like, it just dropped off a cliff. All the customers disappeared. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I do need to, like, maybe advertise and, like, get out there and market it. And so I've been trying every type of advertising in the book, and just the amount of hustle that it takes, you know, that you just got to keep on putting the word out, and you know, it's a never ending job. And it's something I enjoy, you know. I like, testing different marketing strategies and finding out what works and stuff, but I just wasn't prepared for exactly how much of that I was going to need to do. Other than that, I think everything else has been pretty good. I really enjoy the work. I love, you know, setting my own hours. I love working on the kind of things I want to work on. I'm pretty good with people, so I can talk to the customers and make sure they understand what I'm doing and set their expectations. That's a big part to me of running a good computer business and not driving yourself crazy or your customers crazy, is just to set the expectations up front. Be honest, let them know, you know, what's going on and how long it's going to take, and don't dumb it down, but you don't have to, you know, be all technical either.
Yeah, see, that's a real delicate line to walk, and I think a lot of techs really need to learn it trial by fire kind of thing. And
right.
And you know, if they stick with it, I really do think most will learn it. And the two most important things I've heard successful computer repair shop owners talk about, but no one takes them seriously until it happens to them, is, one, the roller coaster of customers is real, where you will get overwhelmed and then you will get nothing, and then overwhelmed and then get nothing. And the important part is every day spend a little bit of time doing marketing to lessen the roller coaster effect. And it does seem like it's hard to maintain, but the people who are successful at it swear it is so worth the time.
Right. And then I'm beginning to see that now. The fruits of my labor on the marketing side are finally coming to fruition. These last few months, I've actually had a pretty good steady flow of customers for the first time since I started my business. So it's been nice. I think that's a direct result of, I mean, especially at first, you have to do a lot of marketing at first. And then once you get the momentum going, you get the referrals coming in and the repeat customers. You still got to, be marketing during that time too, but you don't have to be doing as much of it. It's kind of like a self-fulfilling pinwheel that you're on. And the more, the more you do it at the beginning, then the more it can just kind of carry on with itself over time.
Very cool. Can I ask you two questions really? First, what do you think is, okay, now you're in the DC area, and for the people that don't know, it sounds to me like from what I know about that area, because I only live in Baltimore, so it's not far away, that is a very tightly compact area. Lots of people, and I would think lots of competition. So what kind of marketing do you use that you like?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that is one of the first things I did was I looked in the phone book to see how many other computer technicians were in my county. I'm not even in the DC city proper. I'm out in the suburbs outside the Beltway. And there were, I mean, there were pages of computer repair businesses.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit overwhelming, but then, as I was doing, and that's why I did it part-time at first, because I wanted to make sure that there was a need and that I would still be able to get in there. And I was surprised at how many people, would come to me saying, "Hey, I have a computer problem. I don't know who to call, but I heard that you work on them." So in this industry, it's really people tend to go with someone they know or someone that's recommended to them. So even though there's hundreds of companies in the phone book, rarely is someone going to look in the phone book for a computer repair person. They're first going to go to their network of friends or people they know. To try to find somebody. There's definitely a lot of competition out here. Surprisingly to me, I've had a lot of success with Craigslist.
Cool.
Not so much with computer repair, but a lot of web work.
Ah.
I do about 50% computer repair, 50% website stuff. And my big thing's WordPress. So I would put an ad out maybe once a week saying, "Hey, I can help you with your WordPress problems." And I get a lot of response from that. From that, they get on my mailing list after I'm they're my customer. And then I'll send out a email saying, "Hey, by the way, I do this computer repair stuff." And then they'll be like, "Oh yeah, by the way, I've had this computer problem that I want you to take a look at."
Right.
So any kind of niche you can find that maybe sets you apart. Like for me, it's WordPress. For someone else, it might be data recovery or hardware stuff, soldering, or the DC jack repair. Any kind of niche that you could find that kind of sets you apart from everybody else, and really push that, and that'll get the initial customers in. And then once you get those initial customers in, then you can get them in your referral network, and then they can refer their friends and so forth and so on. So it's you don't want to just put a general, "Hey, I'm a computer repair guy," out there.
Yeah.
Because there's hundreds of other guys competing as a general computer repair guy.
Yep.
So I've found success in really kind of trying to niche it down.
That's really smart. And I will say, maybe one of the benefits you have to being in such a populated area, one, there's a broad range of, customers with money and customers without money. You probably see it all in the area that you're in. But secondly, because you're in such a tight area, there's so many people, you should probably get more customers off of a single niche type service than in other areas. And if you can do multiple niches, well, that's just you know, the cat's meow. That's gold.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so that's something that people don't address too often, is that really there's not, I mean, people say this, that there's not one, you know, gold standard of marketing. There's not one thing that works for everybody. It's very location specific, and very industry specific. So something that works for someone, even us, you know, we live an hour away or so, DC and Baltimore, but even and two places an hour apart from each other can have totally different demographics and customer types. And one, even some guy the next town over, some marketing thing he does might not work for me. So it's all about really just trying everything you can, seeing what works and sticking to what works.
Very cool. Yeah, very smart. And I would expect over time, even that might change where Craigslist is hot this year. Next year, who knows? You know, something else will be. So you always got to constantly ding the water. You say you do WordPress. Can I ask what do you see as the people complaining about WordPress? So what kind of issues? And can I ask, like, how do you go about fixing them?
Yeah, a lot of the issues, unfortunately, but fortunately for me, are that the web design world seems to be a little bit flaky. And I get a lot of customers who hired a web designer, and then the guy just disappears, falls off the face of the planet with a website that's half finished. Or, you know, they don't stick around to answer questions or maintain things that go wrong with the website. So a lot of the work is just someone saying, hey, I want to change this on the website, or I want to tweak this, or I want to add this functionality. This guy that I used to build the website is gone, so, you know, I'm trying to find somebody. So the beauty of WordPress is it's really easy for the end user to get in there and update, like, the posts and the pages and stuff. But that also gives them a false sense that they can update everything about the site. And so, you know, I get people who don't understand how to add pages to the navigation menu.
Right.
Simple stuff like that, all the way to someone who installed, like, 100 plugins, and then all of a sudden they're wondering why their site is slow, or things aren't, you know, certain things aren't compatible, certain plugins aren't compatible with each other. I get those issues. But then I do get, you know, people who want me to build a website from scratch. And so I'll do that. I love WordPress because there's already thousands of pre-made themes out there that you can take and just kind of tweak a little bit. So I do that, but I, you know, if their budget's tight, then I'll use a pre-made theme. But if it's not, then I'll, you know, I'll build it from scratch. I'm not a awesome designer. Like, I appreciate looking at a good website, and I know what makes a good website look good, but I can't actually design one myself. So I'll normally try to hire, like, a graphic designer to design the site, and then I'll just code it out and make, turn it into a theme for WordPress.
Gotcha. Well, I do think it's important sticking with what you know and not trying to do stuff that you don't know. That usually doesn't end good. I will say the best possible thing I think about WordPress is it is everywhere. And if you have a problem with something, as long as you know how to use Google, you'll probably find 800 other people with that exact same problem, and at least one of them will know how to fix it.
Exactly. Yep.
Very cool.
That's how I learned it. I mean, I've been using WordPress for almost 10 years now since I built a little website for my music stuff, you know, back in the day. I used WordPress, and so I've just been slowly learning it, you know, bit by bit, you know, using Google. And it's funny. It's a funny story. About a year ago, I saw a Craigslist ad looking for a WordPress teacher for a local technical college. And so on a whim, I answered the ad. Not because I've never taught before. I have an associate's degree. That's the highest degree I have. And so I figured, they're probably looking for someone with a master's or someone who, you know, has previous teaching experience. But, you know, I went for it. And so I got contacted by the head of the web design department there and called me in for an interview. And so, you know, I put on my suit and I didn't think I'd be having interviews since starting my own computer business, but it was a part-time thing. It's, you know, they have a WordPress module. So it's maybe 2 weeks every 6 months that I'd actually go in and teach the class.
Gotcha.
So I went in, did the interview, and I just, you know, tried to let the person understand that I understood WordPress, and maybe my military experience gave me some experience with standing up in front of a group of people. So next thing you know, I'm hired as the WordPress teacher there.
Cool. That is really cool.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it. I was really shocked. I ended up getting the syllabus for the class in an email, and about 50% of the syllabus I knew. The other 50% was over my head. It was stuff I had not encountered before. And so I was freaking out at this point. This was about a month before the class was about to start. And I'm like, I don't even know half of this stuff. So I was like, I was really thinking about just telling the guy, you know, sorry, I don't think I'm going to be able to cut it. But instead I thought, you know, this is an awesome opportunity to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
So I just put my head down. Luckily it was there in the syllabus. So I knew exactly what I needed to learn how to do. And so I just, you know, spent that month just learning the ins and outs of WordPress. And so that was cool. That was a great way to force me to learn the stuff that I hadn't learned yet about WordPress.
Right.
And it was after that that I was confident enough to start offering it as a service to my customers, because before then I hadn't. So that just kind of all came together after that. And it was, so I've been... And the teaching is great. I love doing that. That's something that I want to get into more, you know, moving forward.
Dude, that is just epic, because the old owner of this, Steve C, always said, there's no better way to learn something than having to learn it. So you definitely had to learn it. But
yeah, tell me about
you that. Got paid to learn it, and then you got paid to teach it. That's just, I mean, good on top of good on top of good.
There you go. And that seems to be what happens is I'll that happened also with a Google Apps migration. Someone wanted to migrate their email from GoDaddy to Google Apps, and it's something I'd never done before, but they asked me if I could do it, and I figured I could learn how to do it, so I said sure. And then I spent the next week or so before it was time to do it, and then just sat there and, you know, read up on it and learned about it. And so that's, you know, that's something to take away from this, I guess, is even if it's something you don't know how to do, if you're computer tech, you already have the computer savvy, you already kind of know your way around a computer and technology. So if there's a service that your customer is asking for, and it's not something you've done before, it's not something you know about, you should have that confidence in yourself that you can learn how to do that. And maybe give yourself some time. If they're asking you, you know, you're sitting in front of them and they're asking you to do something right then and there that you don't know how to do, you might want to be honest and say, well, that's not quite something that I've done before, but I could go find out about it and then come back and help you out with that. Right. I would say definitely never turn down an opportunity if you're afraid it's something that you're not familiar with.
Yeah, I'll say the only thing I blatantly ever turned down was graphic work. I can't make a pretty image to save my life.
And that's something that's totally different. I think that's a whole nother world. That's graphic design, and that's that people. It's funny because people assume that if you're a computer tech, then you are good with everything that has to do with a computer, including making graphics on a computer.
Right.
But that's a totally different discipline.
Yeah.
So you're right. And there's certain jobs that. Maybe it, even if it's something you could figure out, maybe it's just not something you want to bother with.
I'll say the graphic stuff is literally artwork. And I would like show the guy the thickness of my glasses. And I said, I don't have an eye for art. Okay? It isn't going to happen. Have you seen my site? Because my site was never, you know, graphically pleasing. It was very data-driven, I'll say.
Right.
Very cool. You... still said, hey, man, that teaching gig's awesome. You do WordPress stuff. You're pretty successful with Craigslist, but you also do computer repair. Do you do hardware, software, or whatever comes in?
Yeah, I do pretty much whatever comes in. I really, like I said, I try not to, there's really not a job I'll turn down in the computer repair side. And so with that, You know, it started out with a lot of referrals, but I've also done just kind of door-to-door canvassing for with small businesses, local small businesses, dentist offices and doctor's offices and that kind of thing. And then I got a bunch of door hangers made up and just went around to all the neighborhoods and hung the door hangers on the doors and got some calls from that. I got the car magnets, you know, the car door magnets that I put on my car. I did the little yard signs, like those political signs that you put on the side of the road, flyers and windshields. You know, I've tried everything.
Wow, that's very cool. Very cool. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. I've said on this show, I don't even know how many times now, a good amount. And I continue to have the sponsor of Nick from D7 for two reasons. He is a very honest, hardworking guy that, in my opinion, makes maybe the best bang for the buck piece of software on the market. But two, Nick is seeing good results with these ad sponsorships. People are going to the site and some people are buying the product. I cannot encourage people enough. FoolishIT.com with the code PodNutsShow20. You get 20% off D7. And I will say, since he started this ad campaign alone, he's came out with two brand new products. He's launched forms on his website that are in full swing. And he has did at least two updates to the actual product of D7. So I cannot encourage people enough. If you looked at it in the past, do not sell yourself short. Go back and look at it again. I guarantee you it's going to look different and do different things. And by different, I mean a lot more things. This is truly the all-in-one multi-tool to automate a plethora of Windows repair type task from either one-click removing malware, viruses, master boot in affections, to data backup, Windows update, system repair. I'm convinced Nick is pretty much the smartest guy I know when it comes to Windows itself. And I highly encourage you guys to take advantage of that. Go over to a Foolish IT, check it out. And while you're there, don't forget to look at his other products. He has a plethora of other tools there and other applications that are just as useful that do different kinds of tasks. So, again, that is foolishit.com with the code PodNutsShow20, and I definitely want to thank Nick for supporting this network. We're going to do everything we can to help him out too. Thank you very much, Matt. I gotta say, I'm almost envious about how satisfied you're sounding about doing your computer business. I mean, everybody has bumps and roller coasters, but I gotta say, you have seemed like you've learned a heck of a lot. And it seems like you're pretty satisfied with what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not all rainbows and butterflies, that's for sure. But it's, I mean, I did this for a reason. It's you know, some folks are kind of forced into it. They get laid off or, you know, that they have some problems and it seems like that's the only option. But for me, it was definitely a choice. It was definitely something that I consciously chose to do. It's something that I felt like I would enjoy, and so far I have enjoyed it. I'm just, you know, I'm not a good, even though I was in the military, I'm not a good, like, show up at this time every day and doing the same thing every day. And so I would, and that was starting to show there towards the last couple of years of my corporate gig. I was coming in late and I was just not, didn't have the heart, you know, that I should have.
Yeah.
So I kind of made a promise to myself after I quit the job that I would only involve myself in things that I was excited about and passionate about. And so that's why I have the Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy blog. That's why I started the podcast. That's why I started my business. These are all things that, that I'm excited about and that I, you know, I love getting up every morning doing. And that it, even like, even to the customers that I take in, you know, I try to, as much as I can, sometimes I just got to take whatever I can get. But at times, you know, when I can have the luxury of choosing my customers, I always, you know, try to pick customers that I feel like I would enjoy working with. Folks that aren't, you know, trying to pinch every penny and squeeze out every last piece of me, you know, for a little money, and folks that that aren't, that don't know enough to be dangerous, you know, like there's those folks that know enough about tech that they think they know what they're doing, and then they kind of critique everything you're doing. And so I love being able to choose my customers, being able to choose the kind of work I do and when I do it. So how can you not be happy about that?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I got to ask, is there any tools, software or hardware tools that you've been using that you've just been really happy with?
Not really. I'm not a big tool guy, honestly. I buy what I need when I need it for what happens. I know there's some techs who are big gearheads and they like to collect tools and collect software and tinker. I've never really been a big tinkerer. Like I don't have a bunch of test systems laying around my desk. You know, honestly, I use some of the typical stuff that folks use. I'm a user of D7, your sponsor, and I love using that. You know, the Ultimate Boot CD has saved me a couple of times. Yeah. You know, I just use the typical stuff, Malwarebytes, and just trying to think off the top of my head. But nothing really that's blown me away. I look in the forums for what people recommend for a certain task, and then I use that tool, and if that doesn't work, I try something else.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. The one tool I wanted to ask about, Liam Tidwell, a long-time listener and a guy who's been on more than a couple shows, he was advocating people use Hitman Pro Kickstart. And I've only found one other person that uses it, and they also swore by it. Have you ever used that tool?
No.
It's kind of unique in the sense you install it on the computer, it then asks you to insert a thumb drive. You put a thumb drive in the computer, it basically reformats that thumb drive, puts on a booting system on it, reboots the computer. You have to pick to boot to the thumb drive, but then it's weird. It basically boots to the thumb drive, but then bounces back to the first partition of the hard drive, bypassing the master boot record on the hard drive.
Okay.
So cause of that, it's able to get rid of a lot of infections that are typically harder to get rid of.
Oh, like some of those rootkits and stuff.
So I was like fascinated by that tool. And I'm trying to find more people that have experience with it, just because it seems like it's one of the newer tools that hasn't really got a lot of traction yet.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I'm definitely going to add it to my list of stuff.
Very cool. I'm going to make a couple PodNuts related announcements, but first off, I got to say, I'm a jerk. I forgot to say, one of the first things I wanted to say to you was thank you for your service to this country. Guys like you, there isn't enough thanks I can actually give to you guys. You guys enable me to sit in my chair and podcast at whim without worrying about anything going on around me or, you know, behind me, out my front door kind of thing. So I definitely thank you for your service. And you don't look that old. You're another guy. This is like the third in a row. You don't look that old, but you have tons of experience. I don't know how you guys do it.
We just don't stick to one thing for too long. That's the problem of I mean, I'm 30. I just 32. After 30, I don't even remember anymore.
I understand.
32, and so, you know, I just the bane of my generation is that we're the ADD generation, and we just kind of don't stick to one thing for too long. So I think that's what happened, was I just kind of bounced around a lot. But I think I finally settled into something that I'm gonna stick with for the long haul.
That's really cool. And you've released a couple podcasts. I think you literally started doing the podcast less than 3 months ago.
Right.
Can I ask to the listeners here, what would you say is your goal with that podcast? Where do you see it going, and what have you done so far?
Yeah, so the podcast is kind of just an extension of the blog. And the purpose of the blog is now to help people start and grow their computer business. And the way I do that is by sharing my experiences and what works and what doesn't work. And I found that was an invaluable thing for me as I was growing my business, was to just hear what works and doesn't work for other people. And so, you know, I just wanted to have a one place people can go just to see, you know, the experiences that I've had. And so what the podcast is trying to do is I want to have a very well produced show that is low on, filler and high on actionable information. So I really structure it to where, like, the first part of it, I either talk about stuff that's going on with me, or I answer some reader questions that were sent by email. The second part of the show is the main topic, where I talk about a specific topic that the show is revolving around, or I'll have a guest on, and the guest and I talk on a specific topic. And then I end the show with a recommended tool. Doesn't necessarily have to be a repair tool. In fact, most of the time it's not. It's going to be some kind of tool that's going to help your repair business. So a marketing tool, or, you know, a website tool, or, you know, a good book, something like that. So I just want it to be a very information-packed show. I enjoy, as a musician, I enjoy performing, so that's kind of like the performing side of me, getting out there and doing that. And as I do that, I hope to grow as well, because I'll definitely be asking questions in every show, asking for feedback from the listeners, and hopefully we can all help each other be better techs.
Very cool. The olive branch, I can tell you now, it is extended. Anytime you want to come on the show, talk about any topic, or if there's an update to your site or your blog or your podcast that you'd like more people to know about, don't hesitate. Shoot us an email. If you want to post that a show has been published on the Podnuts forums or any place else, again, feel free. Mikasa, Sukasa, kind of thing.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
And I cannot encourage you to keep up the podcast, because I like the fact that you are, dare I say, without insulting myself, that you are very business focused. You speak to the computer repair tech, I think, first and foremost, as a businessman. And I think most of the techs who get into this, they're good techs. They're actually pretty good techs, but they need to learn business. They need to understand what it takes to be good at business, and whether it be, like you said, a tool or a book they should look at. Those are the kind of things I think that really set your show apart from other shows.
Right. Yeah, I think, and that's definitely a missing piece of the tech podcast puzzle. But I love your show. I love all the other tech podcasts that are out there. And so I think mine is just one to add to the mix, you know. Yep. And as you're driving to your next client call, or, you know, if you're on vacation and you have some downtime, you just throw on Podnuts and the Computer Business Podcast and all the other podcasts out there, and just, you know, absorb it, and I hope it's you know, entertaining as well. So yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't do this for every podcast I add. I typically only do it every now and then, but right after I added your podcast and listened to your first episode, because I got there a little bit late, I immediately backed up all my feeds to a PML file and emailed it to myself. So just in case my Android phone went boom, I was fine. I still had all the feeds.
I appreciate it. That's awesome.
Okay, now the first Podnuts announcement is really Podnuts is always and forever is in need of guests on the shows. If you or someone you know should be on Podnuts, please do not hesitate. Shoot us an email, mail@podnuts.com. I will also admit I'm not great at reading the emails, hence I'm not reading emails. I promise everyone I will get better. Please keep sending emails to mail@podnuts.com. Do not forget we have a Google Plus community packed with a lot of guys, a lot of smart guys, and a couple guys who post when there's deals on bundles of software or hardware, so it might be a good place you can catch some really good information. I can't encourage people enough, go to the Podnuts forums, go to the Podnuts lounge. There is good people in there, very good people, in fact. As soon as I figure this out, it will be done, hopefully by the time the show's published. Mumble.podnuts.com will be the official quote-unquote voice chat server for the network. That's going to basically redirect to openspeak.cc. If you go in your browser, openspeak.cc, you'll see the Mumble Room and basic in instructions on how to connect to that. If you want to send us a voicemail, please do not forget, 706-PODNUT is that phone number. I honestly cannot thank everybody enough for their support. I'm definitely getting more in tune with how to run this network, and I plan on hopefully doing it better and better. Again, I want to thank everybody who downloads, everybody who talks us up, and I can't thank Matt enough for coming on the show. First off, he's a local to me, so that right there is a plus. Maybe I'll meet him at Captain Harvey's when I'm getting a cheesesteak. It could happen.
Yes.
That's very cool. Do you have any parting words, Matt?
Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun. Folks, also, I just wanted to mention on the Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy, which is yfncg.com, on there they can sign up for the mailing list, and for doing that, they'll get a copy of a free ebook that I put together. It's called 20 Things You Can Do Right Now to Improve Your Computer Business. And like everything I do, I try to make it top quality, even though it's free. So there's 20 pages of... Each page has one thing that you can implement right away that will help your computer business, everything from starting an email list to different marketing tactics and stuff that's worked for me. So go ahead, and then all you got to do is sign up for the email list. And as a member of the email list, I send a couple emails a month, maybe one or two at tops. Just, you know, tips and tricks for computer techs, different things that I've ran across, and updates about the site. So definitely check that out.
Very cool indeed. I literally just signed up.
great. So
I definitely want to thank you, Matt, and I will definitely talk to everybody soon. Have a good week.
You too. Bye.
Get a computer repair business website up and running, starting from scratch, even if you don't know anything about website design. Check out the new Tech Site Builder 2. Save 20% by going to TechSiteBuilder.com/PND, which stands for Podnuts Daily.